Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. Well, as I said a little bit ago, today's message is what the Reverend Bob Driver Bishop will be preaching tomorrow. And this is the first Sunday in our capital campaign drive. So this is, as I said, primarily his sermon with just a little bit of John Brock thrown in. So our gospel reading that I just read is taking place on Easter Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead, and he went for a bit of a walk. Along the way, Jesus encounters two of his lesser-known disciples. And he walked with these two followers, and yet they never recognized him. Their hearts were heavy. They didn't realize that they were talking to their risen Lord. You know, Scripture is filled with references to times when people unexpectedly encountered angels or special messengers from God. You, of course, back in the book of Genesis, have the time that Sarah and Abraham entertained three heavenly travelers. In the book of Exodus, Moses encounters God in the form of a burning bush. And in Luke's gospel, an angel appears to Mary and announces that she is about to become pregnant with the Messiah. In our reading tonight, it appears that these two people left Jerusalem before that they heard the good news that Jesus had been raised. Now, we know that one of them was named Clopas. Tradition indicates that the other person walking with him was his wife. We don't know for sure, but that's okay. Jesus reached out to these two wanderers and decided to have a little bit of fun with them. He asked them why they were sad, and they were amazed. They asked if he was the only person in all of Jerusalem who didn't know what was happening. Jesus knew, but he didn't let on. You know, it's human nature to think that we have all of the answers. Unbeknownst to this couple on the road to Emmaus, they were missing one of the most important parts of the Easter story. Now, they could have learned that truth from Jesus had they been truly listening to him in all that what he was saying. But they talked, apparently, more than they were listening. They had also given up. They had lost hope in Jesus that he would return, even though he had promised. Once they reached Emmaus, Jesus indicated that he was going to continue on, but the couple asked him to stay and to be their guest. And Jesus accepts their invitation. And in the accepting the invitation, there's a little bit of divine irony, because the guest becomes the host. They invite Jesus into their house for a meal. Jesus took the bread. We call it the host. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to them. And as soon as he did that, they immediately realized who he was, who it was in their midst, who it was that they had been walking with, and just like that, he's gone. Now, Jesus used these very same words and actions throughout the Gospels when he fed the 5,000 and again at the Last Supper. We take these four verbs, take, bless, break, and give, kind of as Jesus' signature, because it's in those moments that the disciples were spiritually fed. And this couple was so moved by the revelation of the risen Lord that they immediately got up, left, turned around, and walked all the way back to Jerusalem. You know, the first sign of a spiritual setback is when we separate ourselves from a community of believers, which is exactly what these two people had done. They hadn't chosen to remain in Jerusalem with all of the other disciples. They handled the loss of their teacher by leaving town. Contemporary Bible author Frederick Buchner asserts that Emmaus is the type of a place that people go to escape. It's kind of like going to the shopping center or out to a movie or a nightclub or something. And so that when they were frustrated and couldn't find the answers that they were seeking, they left Jerusalem to go to Emmaus. Emmaus is kind of a way to seek worldly answers. Emmaus might promise us momentary relief, but can never really give lasting joy. Now, the disciples who stayed in Jerusalem were able to offer comfort to one another. In the fellowship of believers, they were able to read Scripture together. They could share their cares and concerns with one another. They were able to break bread, have meals together. And in that way, they learned that Christ is present. When the Emmaus couple realized their mistake of leaving the faith community, that's when they hurried back to rejoin it. Now, this week, we will be launching a capital appeal. In many ways, it will help to physically improve our facilities and help to make some needed changes around our building. There's also built into this appeal the possibility to expand our ministry and outreach to many who may have fallen away from the church, as well as to be able to welcome newcomers to faith. This appeal is dedicated to sharing and expanding God's good news now and into the future. So during the next few weeks, there's going to be opportunities, numerous opportunities, for folks to listen and understand to our many possibilities. Our property committee, congregation council, staff, leadership teams, they've all been working very hard to listen and discern God's will for us in this process as we come up with the possibilities of what we might be doing, as some of those plans have been laid out on the walls and in the pictures out in the gathering space. We have the unanimous support of everyone, of all the people who are on property, congregation, council, staff, and leadership teams as well. 100% of those folks have made a prayerful commitment to this appeal. And so we're inviting all of you to please come to one of these appeal gatherings and to open yourself to God's possibilities for this fellowship of believers. God's presence was never meant to be something private. We give because God first gave to us. And so this experience should be shared, for the church is a gift of God. Together, Jesus takes us into a fellowship of believers. Jesus blesses us with the message of love. Jesus' message breaks down those things that would hold us back. And Jesus gives us back to the world to share his message of hope and salvation. Jesus assures us that, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among us." God be with us in this process as we begin this campaign and into a hopeful, healthy, and growing future here at Trinity. Amen.